If you have been trying to secure a new job, whether you're job searching to make a pivot, you just want to be in a different company, you want a promotion, you want a different industry, girl, it don't matter what it is. If you are a job searching, this is the episode for you. I am breaking down step by step by step every single thing that goes into having a successful job search. How do I define successful job search? You secure a job that you're excited about while increasing your salary. If that sounds like the kind of help you're looking for in your job search right now, you need to listen to this episode. So let's get into the entire anatomy of a successful job search. Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for the professional woman who's ready to work in an aligned career that allows her to thrive in her zone of genius, live on purpose, and get paid a value-aligned salary. I'm your host, Dr. Tega Edwin, and I share insights and strategies to help you reach your career goals, whether you're trying to find your fulfilling career, grow your current career, or successfully job search. Let's dive in. Hello, wonderful listener. Welcome back to another episode of the Fulfilling Career Podcast. I am super excited about today's episode. I'm so excited for this episode because I am legit breaking down step by step everything you need to do to have a successful job search. So I'm sharing pretty much, this is like your ultimate guide to successfully job searching. And when I say successfully job searching, for me, that always equates to landing an aligned job. So landing a job that is aligned with your values, your interest, and your skills, while also increasing your salary by five figures, meaning you get a salary increase of at least $10,000 or more. That is my metric, my parameters for success. And so in today's episode, I am sharing the anatomy, step by step, everything that goes into you having a successful job search. So I think this might be one that you're going to want to take notes on. I don't know if you're a note taker. I'm not sure, but I can tell you that this is not an episode that you're going to just listen to and move on from it. So if like you're driving, you're washing dishes, you're, I don't know, taking a walk, well, the first two, driving and washing dishes, you might need to listen to this one again later on when you can take some notes. If you're taking a walk, you can take some notes on your phone as you're listening. What else do y'all do when you listen to episodes? I'm trying to think, what do I do? I'm usually driving, washing dishes. That's about it when I'm getting dressed, is usually when I listen to podcast episodes. But all that to say, like this, this is more of a tactical episode where I'm sharing strategy, things for you to do to have a successful job search. So if you have been job searching for a while now and you have not been able to land a new job or even land a job interview, this is the episode for you. I'm at this point, I'm repeating myself, and that's just my excitement because it's like we're going detailed today. Okay, so I'm just going to get right into it. I don't think I need too much of an intro. If you're job searching, you want to job search better, this is the episode for you. Let's talk about it. The first step, so if I think of the anatomy of a successful job search, when I work with my clients, there's really four parts to the anatomy of a successful job search. So four different branches or parts or even steps, whatever it may be, that make up the anatomy of a successful job search. So the first one is simplified search. Simplified search. In this very first part, so the first thing you have to do to have a successful job search is simplify everything. Everything. Because job searching is already a process that can be stressful. It's a process that can be overwhelming. And so if you go into it without simplifying the process, you're just going to go through the process feeling frustrated, overwhelmed, annoyed, depressed, demotivated, whatever other emotion word you can think of that maybe you have been experiencing in your job search. So you first have to simplify the process. And the way that I do this with my clients, there's a few things here. One is we start with clarity. And I talked about this when I said an aligned job is one that's aligned with their values, interests, and skills. So before you start job searching, you absolutely need to be clear about who you are, what you value, what you're interested in, what skills you want to use, and the one aligned job you're trying to secure. One, once you have clarity about who you are, it's so much easier for you to then make the connections to, okay, what is the job I'm trying to land? And so you need to start with clarity about the job title, the industry. Like when I work with my clients, we create what I call an ideal career profile, where we map out your ideal job title, ideal salary range, ideal company, ideal team environment, ideal manager. So you want to have clarity about what you're looking for. So starting with clarity allows you to have radical focus in your job search. The other thing you want to do when you're simplifying the search is also create a realistic schedule so that you have a simple schedule to follow that lists, you know, the tasks you need to do daily, weekly, or monthly in your job search, the activities that you need to engage in to secure a role. And I have something that I call the piece schedule that I help my clients create at the beginning of a job search that helps you really think through what you need to include in your job search. So with the P schedule, the P stands for prioritize and plan. And we already talked a bit about the prioritize part of things, which is what's the role that you're prioritizing. But then you also want to plan out which days of the week are you engaging in job search activities? Which job search activities are you engaging in and when? And actually plan it out and figure out, okay, here, this is when I'm searching. This is when I'm applying. This is when I'm networking. This is when I'm upskilling. So the different tasks that you might need to engage in, you want to just plan out what you need to do. The E stands for establish boundaries. Again, because job search can be overwhelming, it's easy to burn out or get just worn out from the process. So you want to establish clear boundaries for yourself in terms of putting in time to get up and stretch, to take a break, to do social things. And you want to establish boundaries with your current company. Okay. If you're currently job searching, that likely means that your current job is no longer meeting your needs, helping you reach your career goals, or serving you. If you're like most of the women I work with, you're straight up unhappy. Okay. You're straight up unhappy and feeling miserable in that job right now. So you have to establish boundaries by reducing your work effort. This is the time when you start putting in about 70% effort into your organization and not 100%. That way, that extra 30%, you're using it to job search so you can get out of that job that's draining you. That's established boundaries. The A stands for allocate time blocks. So when you were prioritizing and planning, you wrote out all the different tasks you need to engage in to job search. So now you need to actually go into your calendar and allocate time blocks. When am I going to search? When am I going to update my resume? When am I going to network? And this calendar should be built around your job. I actually give my clients a sample calendar of working a 9-to-5 and doing, you know, putting in all the job search activities. That doesn't include weekends. So there's time in the evening to spend social time and time on the weekend to be social so that you have breathing room and capacity in your life so you can stay energized and engaged throughout the job search. The C in peace schedule is to celebrate your progress. So celebrate everything. Job searching can be stressful. I'm going to keep saying that because I think oftentimes when you don't go in with that mindset, it's so easy to become disillusioned and just stop searching. So I always want people to have a realistic approach to what job searching is going to look like. So celebrating everything, celebrate when you create your schedule, celebrate when you update your resume, celebrate when you talk to a recruiter, celebrate when you get an interview. It doesn't matter what it is. Celebrating every step of the way will help you remain engaged and motivated throughout your job search. And then the E stands for evaluate and adjust. So you want to always be evaluating the activities that you're engaging in your job search. Is this activity actually leading to good outcomes? Am I finding jobs that I want to apply to? Am I getting interviews? Am I having conversations with recruiters? Am I having opportunities being sent to me? Those are some evaluation metrics to help you know if the actions you're taking are successful and productive. And if they are, you keep going. If they're not, that's where the adjust comes in. You adjust accordingly. So part of this first piece of a successful job search is the simplified search, which allows you to really simplify the process, create a clear task framework picture of what your job search is going to look like so that as you go in your job search, all you're doing is showing up and following what you already laid out in this first simplified search part of the job search. The second part of a successful job search is intentional networking. You have to be having intentional career conversations with people in your life and that are new to your life if you're trying to have a successful job search. Look, let me break down some numbers for you, okay? Show you the fact. Only about 40% of available jobs are ever posted on a job board. So if there are 100 jobs available that you're that align with what you're looking for, you're almost sure that only 40 of those will be publicly shown on a job board. 60 of those jobs are somewhere that you've never seen, okay? And those 60 are in what we call the hidden job market. The hidden job market are the different roles that are actually open and hiring, but that aren't shown anywhere. And usually the way people tap into the hidden job market is by having conversations. Simple. You got to be talking to people to find these jobs. You have to be talking to your network, people you already know, past mentors, past bosses, new connections that you're making, key stakeholders at the organizations you're trying to land in or in the industry you want to go into. You need to be having conversations with different people for you to successfully have land a job that you enjoy. So when we think of intentional networking, the way I like to break it down is in your job search, there should be a 60-40 approach, okay? 60% applying online on job boards, LinkedIn, Indeed, Google, Glassdoor, whatever it may be, and 40% talking to people, having conversations, telling them your goals so that they can send opportunities your way. And then for that 60%, so the 60% of roles that you are submitting applications for online, you absolutely must be having a conversation with somebody for every application you submit. Let me bring that back. For every application you submit, you absolutely need to talk to somebody. Talk to the hiring manager if you can find their information. Talk to the recruiter if you can find their information. Find somebody who works in the company and talk to them if you can't find the information of everybody else. But the point is, and this is something I always tell my clients, I don't let my clients submit job applications without talking to somebody. Now, you can talk to the person before or after. It's up to you. And that kind of just depends on how you want to approach it. But having conversations lead to conversions. Having conversations will lead you to more interviews and more job offers. So that 60% part is every job you apply for online, you should be having a conversation with somebody. For the 40% of having intentional conversations, this is where now you're finding people to talk to based on a few things. A target organization. So if you know the organizations you're trying to land a job in, then you're reaching out and having conversations with people who work in those organizations. Your target field. So talking to people who are already doing the work you want to do, because you never know what connections they might have. Your target industry. So talking to people in the industry that you're trying to go into, because once again, you never know what opportunities they might have. So when you're having conversations, you're talking to people and you usually start by just asking them about the work they're doing, about the organization, about themselves. And then towards the end is where, you know, you might say something like, thank you so much for your time. As I'm looking to secure this role in this type of industry, do you have any advice for me? And sometimes they might say, oh yeah, I actually have somebody who's hiring, or send me a resume, we're about to hire, or let me connect you with somebody else that I think can help you. You never know. And all three of those have happened to different clients of mine. But the point is, you're usually leading these conversations, trying to learn more and get information from the person you're talking to. You're not going and saying, hey, I need a job. Can we have a conversation? Most people are going to say no to that because what's in it for them? Not much. But people like talking about themselves. So when you approach it with, hey, I would love to learn more about you and the work you're doing because I have an interest in this work, they're more likely to say yes, have a conversation with you. And from there, that can land to an opportunity. I think of one of my clients who just secured a new role with a 13K salary increase. She had two potential offers on the table, and those came from conversations. She did not spend, literally, she did not spend any, not even a single hour aimlessly scrolling on LinkedIn. The only time she was on LinkedIn was doing research the way I teach my clients to research roles and opportunities using LinkedIn. But when it comes to actual applying for roles that were available, she had one conversation with a past mentor who connected her with someone who was hiring. She talked to that hiring manager. They gave her feedback on her resume. They told her about a role. And then they told her about another role at that organization that was available. So from two conversations, her mentor and a hiring manager, she learned about these two roles, interviewed with them, landed a job that she's excited about. Just from having conversations. So this intentional networking part of the job search is crucial, and you should never skip it. Okay. When you just submit your resume online, it's literally like you're sending your resume out into a black hole, never to hear back again. Okay. The average job search online on average receives 250 applications. And that's on average. Some jobs get 1,000 applications. Some get less depending on the role. Recruiters ain't got time to read 250 applications. Let's be real. If you were a recruiter, you wouldn't do it either. And so when you just submit your resume and don't do anything else, you just like, you're like a drop of water in a bucket of water. You're not standing out. You're not making yourself special. Like, there's just no reason, let's be candid, for the recruiter to reach out to you. But when you start having conversations, you make yourself stand out. You add a face to the name on the resume. You add personality to the application. So you absolutely should be having a conversation with somebody, a key stakeholder, every time you submit an application online. So the anatomy of a successful job search, we're talking about simplified search and then intentional networking. The third component of a successful job search is targeted applications. Targeted applications. Hopefully now you can hear from the language that searching for a role and applying to a role are two different things. Okay? Searching and applying are two different tasks. And more often than not, one of the things that can lead to frustration in the job search is when you try to do both at the same time. Like, you're searching for jobs, trying to apply for everyone you see, and that can just be overwhelming because you're trying to engage in two different activities at once. You should have separate time just to search and save the roles you want to apply to, and then time that you're actually submitting your applications to the roles that you have saved that you want to apply to. So targeted applications, this is really where you are creating a career brand collateral. You're creating a career brand collateral that is adequately marketing you for that one role. Again, so simplified search, we have one specific role we're trying to secure. So you're creating a career brand collateral that positions you as the best candidate for the job you're trying to secure. You might be thinking, girl, what the heck is a career brand collateral? I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you. So your career brand collateral consists of your resume, your cover letter, and your LinkedIn profile. Resume, cover letter, LinkedIn profile. Those three things make up your career brand collateral. And all three of those should be telling one cohesive story that positions your skills, your experiences, and your accomplishments for the job you're trying to secure. Let me say that again. Your resume, your cover letter, and your LinkedIn profile should all three tell a cohesive story about how your skills, your accomplishments, and your experiences make you the best candidate for the job you want. Can you hear how if you don't have clarity, that's going to be difficult? Because you can't position yourself for five different jobs and do it effectively. You just can't. Trust me. Like, I know. I've worked with over 100 women at this point job searching. I've job searched multiple times. You just can't do it. This is why radical focus is so important. When you are clear on the role you're trying to secure, it is so much easier to market yourself for that role. So your targeted application includes building out those key materials and then actually applying to the jobs that align with your ideal career profile. Now, one thing about me, and it might be the educator in me, is I love a good framework. I legit have frameworks for almost everything that I do with my clients. And because of time, I'm not going to go into the frameworks for all three parts of the career brand collateral. But when you're a client of mine, you get access to all my frameworks, all my templates, all my scripts to have a successful job search. But I do want to spend a few minutes talking about the resume because of the three parts of your career brand collateral, that's the one that I think stresses people out the most. And that language was intentional because I'm not going to say it's the most important because candidly, it's not the most important. Okay. Maybe your LinkedIn is the most important, but I think they have equal importance. But I know that the resume can make or break your job search, even when you're approaching it from networking, because it has to position you as the ideal candidate for the role you're applying for. So let me share with you the framework that I have for building a successful resume. And this is not It's more of a framework for you to audit to see if your resume is going to lead to more conversions, if your resume is going to land you more interviews and land you the job. So it's called the Target Resume, and Target is an acronym. The T stands for transferable skills. Your resume should absolutely be communicating your transferable skills. The skills you have that will allow you to be successful in the role that you're applying for and as a working professional in general. So the T, transferable skills, should be highlighted in your resume. A is for aesthetically pleasing. Like, your resume should not look like a hoarder's closet. Just words everywhere on the page. No. Like, you need to have white space all around your resume. Like, I tell my clients, the margins should not go beyond 0.7. I think it's inches. I'm not sure what it is on Word. And even that 0.7, it's just of opposite margins. So if your left and right margins are 0.7, then top and bottom should be one full inch. If top and bottom are 0.7, then left and right should be one full inch. I don't know if I said that backwards. Hopefully you track what I was saying, but it should be aesthetically pleasing. Only use one font. Don't use colors on your resume. You can use bold, italics, underlining to emphasize things, but you absolutely should not be using color on your resume. So the A stands for aesthetically pleasing, and trust me, it matters. If your resume is cluttered, the recruiter is not going to read it. If it's cluttered, it's not getting read. Because already the way recruiters look at resumes is they skim down the left side of the document. This is why the beginning things that you say matters. Right? So you need your resume to be aesthetically pleasing. The R stands for results-oriented bullet points. So you know how you put the bullet points on your resume? Don't just talk about what you did at your job. Like, they don't want to see your responsibilities. Like, girl, anybody care about that? I mean, some people do, but the recruiter doesn't. Your bullet points should communicate. I crack myself up sometimes. Your bullet points should communicate the results of your responsibilities. The result of your responsibilities. How did you help the company's bottom line? How did you increase efficiency, increase client retention, reduce redundancy, reduce client attrition, increase revenue, reduce revenue, like whatever else you can think of, like just how, why does the work you do matter? Think of it as the so what. Like, for every bullet point you have, answer the question, why does this matter? Or why did this matter to the organization? That will help you create results-oriented bullet points. Okay? The E in Target stands for efficiently organized. Everything in your resume doesn't have the same priority. Okay? Like, think of your resume as, I don't know, like a block, like a street, and you want to use the real estate efficiently. The things at the top, most important. If you have a two-page resume, girl, they ain't reading the second page at the beginning, okay? When they get down to like 3 to 5 candidates, they might read it in more detail. But that initial screening, the first page, that's the real estate. The top half of the first page should tell the main story. So if you've been working for 5 years, your education doesn't need to be at the top unless you got a new degree that's relevant because you're transitioning into a new role. But if you've been on the same trajectory and you're continuing on that trajectory, at this point, your education is not as important as your experience. So you want to use the real estate on your resume efficiently and organize everything well. Okay? And then the T, the final T in Target, stands for targeted keywords. Your resume must absolutely include targeted keywords. What are targeted keywords, you might be asking? Well, keywords from the job description of the role that you're applying for should be infused in your resume, because that will help you talk about your experiences in a way that aligns to the role that you're applying for. When you use the language in a job description on your resume, it's so much easier for you to assess if you have, what's the word I'm looking for? If you have convincingly, competently, eloquently, whatever word you want to think of, if you have positioned your experiences and your accomplishment in alignment to the job you're applying for, well, keywords is how you're going to assess, have I actually talked about what I've done in a way that aligns with what I'm trying to do? So I wanted to share that with you as one piece of the targeted applications, because that's the part that I at least with my clients, the resume is what stresses them out the most. And when I work with my clients one-on-one, we work on the resume in detail. I will pull up a job description and build out the resume to align with the job description. Okay. So the anatomy of a successful job search, we have your simplified search, which includes building out a clear ideal career profile and you're crafting your piece schedule so you don't burn out. Your intentional networking, where you're having these career conversations. And mind you, career is also a framework. We're not going to go into that right now, but you're having career conversations so that you can tap into the hidden job market. And then targeted applications. This is where you're building out your target resume, your ATM cover letter, and your magnetic LinkedIn profile that attracts opportunities to you. And then the last piece of a successful job search is secured success. Secured success. This is where we secure the bag and we successfully land the job. That's pretty much why it's called secured success. We're landing the job successfully and we're securing the bag. And so this is where you're now thinking of your interviews and negotiation. That's what goes into secured success. And also, you know, creating your 30, 60, 90-day successful job plan. I do that with my clients, but I want to focus on the actual job searching part, which is the interview and the negotiation. So with the interview, you are mapping out. So what I call your BDA interview schedule, and that just stands for before, during, and after the interview. So you should know there are activities you should be doing before the interview, researching the role, researching the organization, researching who's going to interview you. If it's an in-person interview, researching the location so you know where you're going and where you need to park. If it's virtual, making sure your environment is conducive for you to have the interview. That's the before, reviewing your resume and comparing it to the role so that you're ready to answer questions. Building out what I call your job search strategy that I build with my clients, where we map out your responses to questions like, tell me about yourself. Why do you want your job? What's your greatest weakness? What's your greatest strength? And then we use the job description. When I work with clients, we use the job description to actually create potential questions that you might be asked in the interview. So you want to, before the interview, prepare for the interview. Then during the interview, you have your core career stories in mind that you're going to use to answer questions. You have your questions in mind that you're going to ask them so that you can audit if that organization is a fit for you. Because what you have to recognize is when you're interviewing, you are also interviewing the organization. They aren't just interviewing you. So you have to come prepared with questions and not just random questions. I remember one of my clients, Lauren, said this once, how, you know, before she worked with me, she used to just kind of like go on the company's website and look at their like mission and values and just ask generic questions just so that they know that she did her research. But I don't do that with my clients. No. We're asking genuine questions that help you audit if an organization is aligned with your values. So if one of your values is mentorship, then you're asking them, tell me what mentorship looks like for new hires. If your value is maybe good leadership, you might then ask, what would the average staff in the organization say about the leadership team? Right, like you're asking quality questions that helps you audit if this role is actually a fit, if this organization is a fit, if this is a place you want to be in and people you want to work with. Because doing this careful audit is what will help prevent you from being in the job after like 3 weeks and being like, God, I hate this job. Like, it will help you avoid getting catfished by the organization. When you ask generic questions about an organization, you get generic answers that don't adequately let you know if the role is a fit or not. Okay. And then after the interview, by the way, let me say this, since I'm giving the anatomy, one question you should always, always ask in an interview. No, two questions that I want to give you that I always have my clients ask. The first one is, towards the end, your last question should be, what are you looking for in the ideal candidate for this role? Yeah, I'm giving free game on this episode. This is things that I usually only tell my clients. But the reason why you're asking that is you can hear what they're looking for and think about if you've spoken to any of those things. And if you haven't, you can do it now. And the last question is, what is your timeline for making a decision? You need to know if they're planning to wait like 2 months, 1 week, 5 weeks. What is their timeline? That will help you manage expectations efficiently throughout the process. And then the A in BDA stands for after the interview. So there are actions you need to take, your follow-up email to thank them, your follow-up to checking in the status, reaching out to people. So BDA is, what are the things you need to do before, during, and after the interview. And then once you get the offer, there, first of all, let me start by saying this. Once you get the offer, regardless of what the number is, you are negotiating. Let me come in closer to my mic and say that again. Regardless of what the offer is, you are negotiating. Okay? Whether it's higher than what you expected, exactly what you expected, or lower, you always, 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 always negotiate. Now, does that mean your negotiation will always be successful? Meaning, will they always go higher? No. One of my clients recently just negotiated and they did not move on the salary, but she was still happy with the offer that she got. It was still an increase for her, so she took it. But what my philosophy is, if you don't ask, the answer is always no. If you don't ask, it's a no. So when you do ask, one, there's a chance of a yes. And two, more often than not, most organizations lowball you. Not lowball in the sense that they're offering way too low, but usually every role has a range of a salary, right? They can, okay, for this role, they might say, we can pay this candidate between 75 and 85. What you'll find is that most hiring managers will offer you 75, which is the bottom end of the range. Very few will offer you that top 85. And then it just depends. It's hit or miss. I've never seen like a specific pattern in who does what. So negotiating allows you to ensure that you're not getting lowballed and move up that band if the organization has one. Okay. So you're always engaging in a clear negotiation process to help you push the compensation up so you can secure the bag. But also remembering that money, the actual paycheck, isn't the only thing you can negotiate. And when my clients get a whole list of things they can negotiate. I remember a client of mine who, when we worked together, she ended up securing a new role with a 55K salary increase. In addition to that 55K money increase, we also got increased how much they were going to pay her for childcare. She got paid for parking. And I think the last one was we got like a professional development fund. All of those things are indirectly money in your pocket because she would have had to pay for childcare no matter what. She would have had to pay for parking no matter what. And because one of her values was advancement and growth, she would have been paying for professional learning. But now the company's paying for it. So that might not reflect in your paycheck, but that's money that you're not spending. So indirectly, it's money in your pocket and has monetary value. So sometimes if they can't move on the money, they might be able to move on other things that you were going to spend money on anyway that will help you get closer to your goal or your target if the initial offer was not at that amount. So you're always engaging in a clear negotiation that allows both you and the organization to come out feeling good about the process. And this clear negotiation process is what my clients consistently use to secure five-figure salary increases. Like that's one of my goals when I'm working with any woman who is job searching. I'm always like, how can we increase your salary by at minimum $10,000? The average my clients do is on average 35K salary increase. So when you engage in this clear negotiation process, first of all, when you have clarity, let me start from there. When you have clarity and apply for the right roles, then you end up going for roles that will come with a salary increase. And then when you engage in a clear negotiation process, you can bump that salary increase up a little bit or even a lot more. So there you have it, the anatomy of a successful job search. Simplified search, intentional networking, targeted applications, and secured success. These are the only four things you need to focus on to successfully land an aligned job with a five-figure salary increase. And this process that I just shared with you, including the different frameworks that are included in there, this is exactly how I help my clients consistently secure aligned jobs with five-figure salary increases. So if you have been trying to secure a new job unsuccessfully, and you're finally ready to secure an aligned job with a salary increase without applying to hundreds of jobs, without starting over in your career, without feeling frustrated and defeated, then I invite you to work with me to be your career coach. If you go to privatecareercoaching.com, you can learn more about how I work with women one-on-one in their job searches to secure aligned jobs. But through private career coaching, we'll work together to do every single step of what I just shared with you. I will help you get clarity about who you are, the role you're looking for, the interview process, all of it. Literally, this is end-to-end job search support. When you work with me in private career coaching, you're getting access to not just the framework, but also you're learning the skill set to be able to do this for yourself over and over and over again throughout your career. You get access to my interview scripts, my networking email scripts, my negotiation scripts, my salary negotiation scripts. You get access to templates for your resume, templates for your cover letter that just plug and play, easy to use. You get access to an entire checklist and guide sheet for creating a LinkedIn profile that is magnetic, that attracts opportunities. So go to privatecareercoaching.com to learn more about how you and I can work together to help you job search and secure an aligned job with at least a $10,000 salary increase. Again, that link is privatecareercoaching.com. Thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you found this episode helpful. And if you did, don't forget to leave us a review or a rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. Your review helps this podcast grow because it signifies to the platforms that the episode and the content is helpful, and then they push it out in front of more people. So if you found this helpful and you know other people will find it helpful too, don't forget to leave us a rating, and I will catch you in the next episode.